له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ارفع إزارك ثوبك بنطلونك لف فوق الكعبين وبعد because I don't know if we'll have enough people to take attendance today, but inshallah a little bit later we'll check it. I'll ask somebody to check it for us. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Today is the 14th, right? 16th. Yeah, it's the 16th of November. So inshallah a little bit later we'll be taking attendance. So of the three subjects that we are discussing, I'll be starting inshallah with A'mal al-Qulub or A'mal al-Qalbiyya and the deeds of the heart. And we start by some review and overlap. I think this is okay because of the lapse or interruption that we had of about 2 weeks in the subject. So inshallah that will be a refreshing and reminder for all of us. We discussed earlier that Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah and others of the great scholars of Islam used to say, إِنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَى إِنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى إِبْلِيسَ مِنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لِأَنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ لَا يُتَابُ مِنْهَا وَالْمَعْصِيَةُ يُتَابُ مِنْهَا. Which means bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis, to Satan, than sinning, because one can repent from a sin, but he cannot repent from a bid'ah. From a bid'ah. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains this by saying, وَمَعْنَى قَوْلَهُمْ وَمَعْنَى قَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ لَا يُتَابُ مِنْهَا إِنَّ الْمُبْتَدِعَ الَّذِي يَتَّخِذُ دِينًا لَمْ يُشَرِّعُهُ اللَّهُ وَلَا رَسُولُهُ قَدْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَا يَتُوبُ مَا دَامَ يَرَاهُ حَسَنًا لأن أول التوبة العلم بأن فعله سيء ليتوب منه أو بأنه ترك حسنا مأمورا به أمر إيجاب أو استحباب يتوب ويفعله. Which means the meaning of this statement that the bid'ah, one cannot repent from a bid'ah, is that the one who commits a bid'ah, he takes that, which means his bid'ah, as a deen, as a form of act of worship, which of course was not legislated by Allah or His Messenger, and it is decorated for him in such a way that he sees it to be good, he thinks that it is good. So really this is the problem, that the person, this is one of the worst dangers of bid'ah, that a person says, I'm doing fine, why should I repent? Tell him, you are not supposed to do this, this is you should do such and such and such. He says, why? This is good. What I'm doing is good. And as long as he thinks it's good, then of course he's not going to repent. As long as you think that you are doing something good, why should you stop doing it? So he says, I will continue to do it. Whereas if he commits a sin, if somebody is drinking or taking riba or lying or whatever the sin is, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, whatever the sin is, then he may repent, because one realizes that he is doing a mistake, even though he's doing it, but he's not pleased with what he's doing, as is the situation with us many times, that we do a sin and we hate ourselves sometimes for doing it, but subhanAllah, for human weakness we do it. But a person, sooner or later, inshallah, if he has iman in his heart, will repent, will stop doing it, will turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask Him for forgiveness. But the one who commits the bid'ah, he will never do it, because he thinks, as I said, that it is something good that he's doing. So he would not repent as long as he sees it to be good, because the first step for tawbah, awwal tawbah, knowing is the knowledge that what he is doing is bad, so that he would repent from it, or to realize that he has taraka hasanan ma'muran bihi amra ijabi, he has left off something which is good and he's commanded to do in an affirmative way, aw istihbab, or in a recommended way. So in that case he would repent and do what he's supposed to do. ولكن التوبة منه ممكنة وواقعة بأن يهديه الله ويرشده حتى يتبين له الحق. Yet the one who commits a bid'ah, it is possible for him to repent by that Allah would guide him and show him what is the truth. We are not saying that he's hopeless forever, he will continue to commit bid'ah all his life. No, we know from ourselves maybe that sometimes we were committing a bid'ah without knowledge. We thought that it is good, and then we understood, we realized, we were taught, we learned that it is not right, we stopped doing it. So people could be like that. I mean, there is this possibility that Allah would guide a person, show him the truth, and then he would stop committing the bid'ah. كما هدى سبحانه وتعالى من هدى من الكفار والمنافقين وطوائف من أهل البدع والضلال. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided whomever he guided of the kuffar, of the hypocrites, and of many groups of bid'ah and of innovation and of misguidance. وهذا يكون بأن يتبع من الحق ما علمه. And this is very important. I emphasized this before and I emphasize it again, that the way to repentance, the way to guidance, is that a person would follow the truth that he knows, that he is certain about. وَهُوَ بِأَنْ يَتَّبِعَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ مَا عَلِمَ. That is, we know that this is good, that this has the evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do it. If we do that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will help us to do other things that we were not sure about. Okay? فَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمْ أَوْرَفَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. The one who acts upon what he knows, Allah will give him give him the inheritance or bestow on him the knowledge of that which he does not know. And you know, there are many things that people are not sure about, they are confused about. So how would a person, and this is at the level of groups or even at the level of individuals, a person may think that something he would know about certain things, that they are certainly good and he should do them. But there are many things that a person is not sure about, is not certain about. So in that case, what he would do, as I said, you know, it's like you are, suppose you are walking in a swamp, and the swamp is shallow. So you want to put your foot in a place which is firm. You know that there is a rock somewhere, you see it, so you put your foot on it, you are sure that this is a firm place where you can put your foot. You cannot just step blindly and say, I will step here. You put your foot, one of your feet on the rock, and then you start looking around until you find another place firm, and then you go to it, and so on. So that's how it goes. We put our feet on the firm knowledge that we know, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide us to other, light up for us other things that we did not know before. And in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the night prayer, he used to say, and this is taken from the Quran of course, he used to say, Allahumma alim al-ghayb wa al-shahada, fatih al-samawati wal-ard, rabba kulli shay. No, not this one. He says, اللهم عالم الغيب والشهادة فاطر السماوات والأرض. السلام عليكم. Anyway, the segment that I need to of this is in which he says, اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. Which means, O Allah, he praises him with great praises, and then he says, guide me to that, to the truth about which people have differed. You guide whomever you want to a straight path. Because you know, sometimes there is something, there is a matter that somebody says, wallahi, this is the right thing to do. And somebody else comes and says the opposite, wallahi, this is the wrong thing to do and you should do this. So a person gets confused. What is the way out of it? It is to establish ourselves on what is we are certain about and then ask Allah for guidance. Because there is no guidance that can be attained without His help and His facilitation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you that we worship and it is you that we seek the help from. So he says here that the one who acts upon what he knows, Allah will give him the knowledge of that which he did not know. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. The one who is guided, Allah will increase his guidance and give him taqwa, provide him with taqwa, with piety. So a person should never think in a limited or you can call it even stupid way, which some people think, and which is to say, if I am misguided, then it doesn't help to do any good. If I am wrong, then let me do everything wrong. If I do not, for example, somebody would say, if I drink, then I might as well, commit zina. I might as well steal. I might as well do this. No, the person limits himself. So he does what Allah obliged, what he can do of the good, and Allah will enable him to do other things that he was weak or unable to do before. So وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا, those who are guided, Allah will increase them with guidance. Those who do good things, Allah will enable them to do even more good and more good. And one should not neglect even the smallest amount of good that he can do, because this leads to more good. So if the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, protect yourself or shelter yourself from the fire with half a date, or the one in which he says, do not despise any of the good deeds. لا تحقرن من معروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه فرق. Even if you smile in the face of your brother, this should not be underestimated, because you do something good, it leads to more good, more good, more good. So it is, as I said before, it's like a snowballing effect. It starts small and it adds. So that is what we should just start it and see how it will increase, inshallah. So وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And he said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. If they do what they were reproached about, that they were told to do, that is, that would have been better for them and make them firmer even. So give them more firmness. And وَإِذَا لَأَتَيْنَاهُمْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. We would then have given them a great reward and guided them to a straight path. And there are other ayats, of course, and a hadith to the same effect. I'll go over them quickly without commenting much. The one says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. All you who believe, fear Allah or have piety of Allah and believe in His Messenger, then He will give you a double measure of His mercy, and He will provide for you a light by which you walk, which means you can distinguish between what's right and what is wrong. And وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, and He will forgive you. Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. So you remember the hadith of the in which the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Azza wa Jal says that whoever does the obligatory deeds, nobody can come closer to me except by the obligation, with the obligation. And then my abd would come closer, continue to approach me, come closer to me with the voluntary deeds until I love him. And once I love him, then I will be his كنت سمع الذي يسمع به وبصر الذي يبصر به, his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, and so on. So Allah provides for him this light that is mentioned in this ayah. If a person exercises taqwa, then after believing in Allah and His Messenger, then Allah will give him a double measure of His mercy, will give him a light with which he sees. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the protector and the helper and the friend of the believers, those who believe. He takes them out from darkness to light. So if a person believes, Allah becomes his helper, so he gives him even more benefit by taking him out from darkness to light. And he says, قد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب منير يهدي به الله من اتبع رضوانه سبل السلام ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور بإذنه ويهديهم إلى صراط مستقيم. There have come to you from Allah a book, a light and a clear book with which Allah guides those who follow His acceptance. So those who follow the pleasure and acceptance of Allah, that is a thing that Allah is pleased with, Allah will guide them to the ways of peace. So as a person follows that which pleases Allah, Allah will guide him more to the ways of peace. And He takes them out from darkness to light with His permission and guide them to a straight path. On the other hand, those who turn away from following the truth in obedience to their hawa, وكذلك من أعرض عن اتباع الحق الذي يعلمه تبعا لهواه, he knows that there is something that he should do but he follows his desires, his hawa instead, فإن ذلك يورثه الجهل والضلال, that would lead him to ignorance and misguidance, حتى يعمى قلبه عن الحق الواضح, until his heart will become blinded from the clear truth. Okay, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, which means when they deviated, Allah turned away their hearts, and Allah does not guide those transgressing people or the disobedient people. So you see, after they were misguided, after they followed the ways of misguidance, Allah even let them go further into misguidance. أزاغ الله قلوبهم, Allah turned away their hearts, and He says في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا, in their hearts there is a disease and Allah increased them with disease. And you know the hadith in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the fitan are exposed to their hearts like a the straws of a mattress, the straws of a what do you call it, this the straw thing like carpet, what do you call it, الحصير, السلام ورحمة الله, like the straw mat, you know there are some mats which are made of straw, tell the name, but anyways, the fitan, the tests or trials with, that is the trials with evil, with disobedience, are exposed to the heart, تعرض الفتن على القلوب كعرض الحصير عودا عودا, like exposing the mat, one straw after the other, that is the fitan, the trials come to the hearts one after the other. As a heart is, if the heart absorbs these trials or these acts of disobedience, accepts them, then they put into his heart, they cause a black spot to be put into his heart, and any heart which rejects it, then it causes a white spot to appear in his heart. So until their hearts become totally black or totally white, that is, you know, the two extreme cases, which is the case where a person always rejects to commit the acts of disobedience, and the person who always does it, he does not stand in the way of fitan at all. So he becomes his heart becomes totally black until he cannot distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. So by doing sins, his heart becomes darker and darker, so he do more and more sins until he gets to the point where he cannot distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. So he starts doing wrong and he thinks that he is doing right. He all his life becomes a life of sins and disobedience. And Allah says, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. The beginning of this ayah, وَأَقْسَمُ بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يَشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Which means that they promise you that or they promised, they made an oath by Allah, as much as they can, very strong oaths, that if an ayah comes to them, if a clear sign comes to them, a miracle or something comes to them, they will believe in it. So tell them that the ayah, these signs, are only from Allah or with Allah. And how would you know that if such signs, such miracles come to them, they would believe, or they would not believe? Because, you know, Allah tells us about many people that the miracles came to them and they continue to disobey, like the people of Saleh, who Allah sent to them the naqa, the female or the she camel, and they continued to disobey after it was sent to them, and they killed it. The people of Pharaoh, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them all sorts of trials. أرسلنا عليهم طوفان والجراد والقمل والضفادع والدم آيات مفصلات. All sorts of hard trials, calamities, to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The miracle of Musa with the snake, and so on. And still they did not listen, they did not take heed, they did not obey. So sending the miracle is not necessarily does not necessarily mean that those hard-hearted people, those hypocritical people, will immediately accept and listen and obey. So Allah is saying, how would you know that if these signs, these miracles come to them, they will not believe? And we turn their hearts, فَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ, and their eyes, so their eyesight, so they, which means they do not see the right, they keep looking from one direction to the other without seeing the truth. Same for their hearts. كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, because just as they did not believe in it the first time. وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ, and we leave them confused and lost in their transgression and disobedience. So same thing, that because they did not believe the first time, Allah Azza wa Jal will let them be misguided and lost. And so he says, because of this, قَالَ مَنْ قَالَ مِنَ السَّلَفِ كَسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرِ, those of the Salaf, whoever said what said, that's an expression in Arabic, which means some of the Salaf, some of the earlier scholars of Islam, like Sayyidina Jubayr said, إِنَّ مِنْ ثواب الحسنة الحسنة بعدها وإن من عقوبة السيئة السيئة بعدها, which means it is indeed one of the rewards of a good deed is that another good deed that follows it, and of the punishment of the sin is another sin that follows it. So you see, this is actually, it's not only and this is important, that at least in this life, it is not only that this is one of the results of a good deed, that we are enabled to do more good deeds, but this is actually the best of the rewards that come out of the good deeds. And similarly, for the sin, the worst problem that outcome from a sin is that we fall into more sinning by committing it. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he says here, Sa'id ibn Jubayr al-Asadi, Abu Abdullah, tabi'iyun thiqatun faqih, kana a'lamahum ala al-utlaq. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he was the most, absolutely the most knowledgeable among the tabi'in. Sa'id ibn Jubayr al-Asadi, his kunya was Abu Abdullah. أخذ العلم عن عبد الله بن عباس وابن عمر. He studied from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar. قتل على يد الحجاج سنة 95. He was killed by الحجاج بن يوسف. لعنه الله, as the scholars, many of the scholars say, they curse him because he of the great damage he did to Islam and to Muslims. He was killed by الحجاج in the year 95 of Hijrah. And he was not even 50 years at that time when he was killed. Sa'id ibn Jubayr. There is a story of his, the way he was killed by Hajjaj and what kind of discussion took place between them at the time of his killing, which is not established, proven to be authentic, but it gives a great, Allah Alam if it is authentic, it gives a great insight to his personality and knowledge. So he was the most knowledgeable of the Tabi'in, and he was killed by this disobedient ruler, oppressing ruler that was in his time. قال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل قتل الحجاج سعيدا وما على وجه الأرض أحد إلا وهو مفتقر إلى علم. He said الحجاج بن يوسف, he killed سعيد بن جبير, and at a time when there was no one on the surface of the earth but was in need of his knowledge. So that is the degree of knowledge that Al-Hajjaj, Sa'id ibn Jubayr had, as judged by one of the greatest scholars of Islam, who is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. ثبت في الصحيحين عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال عليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة ولا يزال الرجل يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا وإياكم والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار ولا يزال الرجل يكذب ويتحرى الكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا. Which means take up or adhere to truth, being truthful, that is, because being truthful guides to righteousness for a person to be used to be all his method of dealing and acting and saying is that he is truthful, he says something, he does it, or he says what he knows is true, and so on. So if he does that, then this guides him to righteousness. See, it from this results or fruits another good thing, which is righteousness. He becomes righteous. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And righteousness, of course, is the way to Jannah, guides to Jannah. وَلَا يَزَالُ رَجُلُ يَصْدِقُ. A man continues to say the truth and makes his best to seek the truth, يَتَحَرَّ الصَّدِقُ الصدق, until he is recorded at Allah, that is with Allah, and Allah is in the records that Allah has, as a siddiq, as a most truthful person. وَإِيَّاكُمْ الْكَذِبُ. And beware of lying, because lying guides to fujur. Fujur means great acts of disobedience, being heedless. So it guides to heedlessness, and heedlessness guides, of course, to the hellfire. So a sin guides to a worse sin, and that sin guides to the hellfire. And a man continues to lie and seek or make his best to do what is conforms with lying, يَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبُ, until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. So فَأَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَسْتَلْزِمُ الْبِرُّ وَأَنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَسْتَلْزِمُ الْفُجُورَ. Thus the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed that truthfulness requires, or the natural outcome of it is righteousness, and lying leads to
as a natural outcome, fujur, heedlessness and disobedience. And ولهذا كان بعض المشايخ إذا أمر بعض متبعيه بالتوبة وأحب ألا ينفره ولا يشاعب قلبه أمره بالصدق. ولهذا يكثر في كلام المشايخ مشايخ الدين وأئمته ذكر الصدق والإخلاص. He said that's why some of the مشايخ, which means some of the scholars, some of the علماء of that time who used مشايخ are, it either applies to two groups of people, either the Sufi مشايخ in those times who were very, very many, I mean the majority of the mashayikh, or the scholars who have halqa of knowledge and people.
Okay. Allah, do you remember the whole hadith of Ibn Mas'ud? The hadith about truthfulness and lying. What does it say? Yeah, or by meaning, you know, it doesn't have to be the exact text. If you have it written, say it from what you wrote. If you know.
Alaykum
as-sidq.
Fa'inna
as-sidq yahdi ila.
ولا يزال
الرجل
يصدق ويتبرأ من الصدق
ويتحرى الصدق
حتى يكون عند الله صديقا وعليكم
وإياكم
الكذب والكذب يهدي إلى ولا يزال
الرجل
حتى يكتب
ويتحرى الكذب
حتى يكتب عند الله كذاب.
Okay, good. So this hadith of Al-Mas'ud means that you must adhere to truthfulness, because truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah, and a man would continue to be truthful and tries his best to follow the truth until he is recorded with Allah as a Siddiq, a most truthful person. And beware of lying, because lying guides to fujur, to great sinning, and fujur guides to the fire. And a man continues to lie and seek lying or manners of lying until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. Okay. One of the last things that we discussed last time was that some of the scholars used to order their students and followers, if they wanted to repent, they ordered them with something so that to make it easy for them, instead of telling them stop doing this and this and this and this and do this and this and this and this. Instead, they gave them a very brief and encompassing command. What was that command? That be truthful. Right. To be truthful. Okay. Why is that? Why would they command them with such a command that seemingly it is a very limited thing? So why wouldn't they command them to do more stuff? Anybody? Nuruddin? Who's Nuruddin, right? Do you have any idea from what we just said? Because it leads to, before that, what does it lead to?
Righteousness.
Okay. And But basically that's what is needed to be righteous. If a person wants to repent, that means he needs to be righteous and to be away from sinning. So if he's truthful, then that comes automatically. A person is always truthful, which means he's truthful in his words, in his actions. He does not, there's no conflict between what he says and what he does, and he is open to people. So he would abstain from disobedience and sinning, because he cannot hide it. He is truthful. He has to say the truth. If one gets used to that, then that will make him a righteous person. Okay. Now, we also discussed last time something about one of the most important benefits of doing a good deed, and one of the most severe punishments or acts of punishment for disobedience. What were these? They were summarized in the words of one of the great Tabi'in. What were these two things? What are the best, the greatest benefit, or one of the greatest benefits for doing good? Read. Hanif? Remember that?
Divine obedience to Allah
subhanahu. That doing a good deed? What is the result of it?
That most benefit.
Well, what's the benefit? What is it?
That you being obedient to the ahkams of Allah subhanahu. You've been ordered to do good deeds.
Yeah. So if we do a good deed, what is the fruit of that?
That you help yourself and you help others.
No, but we are saying there are many fruits, but one of them is especially in the most important. You remember it? What
is it? The best thing for a good deed is the good deed after.
Right.
The worst thing for the bad deed, the bad deed.
Exactly. Okay. Who said that? Let's see. Nuruddin. What's your last name?
Jamal.
Huh?
Jamal.
With which letter? I asked Nuruddin, right?
Shamsuddin,
sir. Okay. Okay. So who of the Salaf, of the Tabi'in, is the one who said this statement? Anybody remembers? He said, "Inna min thawab al-hasanati al-hasanatu ba'daha, wa inna min uqubati al-sayyi'ati al-sayyi'atu ba'daha." Which means one of the rewards for a good deed is the good deed that comes after it, and one of the punishments items of punishment for an evil deed is the evil deed that follows it. Yeah, I'm coming close. What? Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Sayyid al-Tabi'in. He is the best among the Tabi'in, the master of the Tabi'in, as he is described by many scholars. Okay. Okay, we continue, inshallah. But that's basically what the main ideas we covered last time. So he says, we covered this, I just repeat it so that it connects with what follows after it. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ بَعْضُ الْمَشَايِخِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بَعْضَ مُتَّبِعِيهِ بِالتَّوْبَةِ وَأَحَبَّ أَلَّا يُنَفِّرَهُ وَلَا يُشَعِبَ قَلْبَهُ أَمَرَهُ بِالصِّدْقِ. That's why some of the scholars, when they commanded their followers to repent, and they did not want to repel them, which means to make it hard for them, and they did not want their heart to branch off, that is, they did not want to confuse them, and did not want to branch their hearts off, they would command them to be truthful, ولهذا يكثر في كلام مشايخ الدين وأئمته ذكر الصدق والإخلاص. And that's why you find it frequent, that it is frequent in the sayings or the words of the scholars of the deen and the imams, the teachers, the mentioning of truthfulness and ikhlas, which means sincerity. حتى يقولون كل من لا يصدق لا يتبعني. Until they would say, tell the one who is not truthful not to follow me, which means not to be, they would not accept as one of their students those who are not truthful. ويقولون الصدق سيف الله في الأرض ما وما وضع على شيء إلا قطع. And they used to say, truthfulness is Allah's sword on earth, it is never put on anything but would sever it or cut it. ويقول يوسف بن أصباط وغيره ما صدق الله عبد ما صدق الله عبد إلا صنع له. وأمثال هذا كثير. يوسف بن أصباط said and others said, never would a عبد, a servant of Allah, be truthful to him, but he would do things for him. صنع له means he would do things that would please him, would please him. And there are many things like this, he says. والصدق والإخلاص هما في الحقيقة تحقيق الإيمان والإسلام. صدق, truthfulness, and إخلاص, sincerity, are in reality the fulfillment of إيمان and Islam. Are the fulfillment of إيمان and Islam. How is this? فإن المظهرين للإسلام ينقسمون إلى مؤمن ومنافق. Those who say or claim that they are Muslims are two types: believers, those who have iman, and munafiq, hypocrites, those who just claim it but they have a hypocrisy in their hearts. والفارق بين المؤمن والمنافق هو الصدق. And what distinguishes a mu'min, a true mu'min, from a munafiq is what? Truthfulness. Munafiq claims something and he's lying. The true believer claims something and he's truthful. So what the difference between the two claims is truth. فَإِنَّ أَسَاسَ النِّفَاقِ الَّذِي يَنْبَنِي عَلَيْهِ هُوَ الْكَذِبِ. The foundation upon which hypocrisy is built is lying. وَلِهَذَا إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ نَعَتَهُ بِالصُّدْقِ. And that is why when Allah mentions the truth of iman, he will describe it as truthfulness. The reality of iman, he would describe it with truthfulness. Okay, as in what he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the quote about the ayah now that he described its meaning? There is the ayah of the ayat of surah at the end of surah. سورة الحجرات. And the end of it, whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قالت الأعراب آمنا. The Arab, the Bedouins claim that we believe, or they say we believe. قل لم تؤمنوا, say you do not believe, or you have not believed, but say we accept Islam, we embrace Islam. Like قولوا أسلمنا. ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم, and iman has not entered to your hearts yet. That was for some people who just accepted Islam, but the reality of Islam has not reached into their hearts. وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِدْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, you would not neglect any of your deeds or reduce any of your rewards. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah is all forgiving and merciful. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. ثم لم يرتابوا. And then they would not have any doubt in their hearts. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they strive with their wealth, with themselves, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after all of this, he gives the conclusion, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, those are the truthful ones. So he first told them the difference between Iman, the actual Iman, and the apparent Islam, practicing the actions or the practices of Islam outwardly without necessarily the Iman reaching the heart. And then after all of that, he said, the ones who have the true Iman in their hearts, these are the truthful ones. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. And he said, الفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. Which means for the that is the صدقات are also for the فقراء, for the poor ones, or among of the migrators, the muhajirin, those who immigrated from Mecca to Medina, and who were driven out of their houses and of their property from Walim. Why? Because they were seeking bounty and acceptance from Allah, which means in obedience to Allah they migrated. They left off everything behind them. They gave up everything for Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and supporting Allah and his Messenger, Rasulullah wa Rasulah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, those are the truthful ones. I mean, those are the true believers. So here he is saying that these ayat show that the true belief or the true believers are the ones who have lost about 15-20 minutes worth. So he's saying that the true believers are the truthful ones, and vice versa, the truthful ones are the true believers. فأخبر أن الصادقين في دعوى الإيمان هم المؤمنون الذين لم يتعقب إيمانهم ريبة أو ريبة, which means the truthful ones, he told us that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that the truthful ones in their claim of Iman are the believers whose belief is not marred with any doubts. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ, and those who strive in Allah's way with their wealth and selves. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْعَهْدُ الْمَأْخُوذُ عَلَى الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, and this is indeed the covenant that Allah took from the first and last people, which means from all people. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, and when your Lord took from the he's referring to a different ayah. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَّا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ, when Allah took the covenant from the prophets, have I not given you, or based on what I have given you of book, that is revelation, and hikmah, wisdom, that is knowledge with which you apply that revelation, مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ, ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم, and then a messenger comes to you confirming that which you have, which means based on what and because of what I have revealed to you. And when a messenger comes to you confirming that which you have, which means Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لتؤمنون به ولا تنصرونه, you will believe in him and you will support him. قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلك ذلكم أصري, he said, did you confess to this? Do you accept this and take the strong covenant with me on this? قالوا أقررنا, all the prophets said, we agree, we confess to this, we accept this. قال فاشهدوا أنا معكم من الشاهدين, he said, testify then, and I am a witness on this with you. So this shows that Allah take this as a covenant from all the prophets. And of course, if it is a covenant over the prophets, then it is a covenant for all their followers as well. So everybody is required to be of those who strive with their wealth, with their property, in support of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayah from Surah Al-A'raf that I thought he was going to cite is the one which Allah Azza wa Jal said that He took from the back of the children of Adam, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. He took their progeny out of their bags, and then He made them witnesses upon themselves. Am I not your Lord? They said, yes, we testify. He said, قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِن كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا لَغَافِلِينَ. So that you cannot claim on the Day of Judgment that you were unaware of this. And the hadith supporting this or explaining this say that Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment Allah Azza wa Jal, when He created Adam, He took from his back his progeny, his descendants, kiddar, which means like tiny ants, and He took the covenant from them. قال ابن عباس ما بعث الله نبيا إلا أخذ عليه الميثاق لئن بعث محمد وهو حي ليؤمنن به ولينصرنه ليؤمنن به ولينصرنه. Which means Allah has never did not send a prophet, but He took the covenant from him that if He sends His Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم during his lifetime, he must believe in him and support him. وأمره أن يأخذ الميثاق على أمته, and He commanded him to take the same covenant from his followers. لئن بعث محمد وهم أحياء ليؤمنن به ولينصرن. That if Muhammad is sent while they are alive, that during their lifetime they have to believe in him and support him. So it is something that the prophets, of course, they must have fulfilled Allah's command, and therefore it must be in their books or their teachings that when this prophet comes, you must follow him, you must obey him. And this is for all prophets before us. So this must be there in the text of the Christians, the text of the Jews, and the text of all the prophets before that. And we know that some of this is still existing in various forms in some of the texts of these two religions, the Christianity and Judaism, even though they have changed and hidden and tempered with what they have. وقال تعالى ولقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس وليعلم الله من ينصره ورسله بالغيب إن الله قوي عزيز. Which means we have sent our messengers with the clear signs, البينات, and we revealed with them the book والميزان, and the scale or balance, so that people would establish justice, ليقوم الناس بالقسط. And we sent down iron. In iron, there is great power and benefits for people, and so that Allah would know those who will know those who will support him and his messengers bil ghaib, which means without seeing clearly what is, or directly what is in store for them in the next life, or without seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, without seeing the angels, without seeing any of the items that have to do with the ghaib, they still support him, obey him, and obey his messengers. Support his cause and obey his messengers. Bil ghaib, inna Allah qawiyyun aziz. Indeed, Allah is all powerful and mighty. Now, you see that Allah Azza wa Jalla here mentions revealing the book and the scale which in which people distinguish the have the criterion to be able to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. So he gave them this revelation with the knowledge of distinguishing between what's right and what's wrong, which is Mizan, and so that people can establish justice on earth upon themselves, with other people, and so on. And then he sent, in addition to that, iron, which means the tools, the material tools needed to establish justice, because it's not enough for people, as we know, for many people, it's not enough to tell them this is right and this is wrong. Many people will not listen unless there is a force to support the truth. فذكر سبحانه أنه أنزل الكتاب والميزان. So Allah mentioned that He sent down the book and the scale. وأنه أنزل الحديد لأجل القيام بالقسط. And that He sent down or gave the iron so that for the purpose of establishing justice. And so that Allah, وليعلم الله من ينصر ورسوله, and so that Allah would know those who support Him, which means His cause, and His messenger, His messengers. ولهذا كان قوام الدين بكتاب يهدي وسيف ينصر. Thus, because of this, he says, the deen, our deen, Islam, is established or stands upon two things, two bases, which are, first, كتاب يهدي, a book which guides, and سيف ينصر, a sword that which supports. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. And then he says, he brings the ayah, which means, you know, which seems to flow or to go with the flow of the words here. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. And your Lord is sufficient as a guider and a supporter. والكتاب والحديد وإن اشتركا في الإنزال فلا يمنع أن يكون أحدهما نزل من حيث لم ينزل الآخر. This is a nice comment that he clarifies. Some people may ask, how was the hadith revealed? Did the angels bring down the iron to the prophets as they brought the book? And he says, even though the book and iron have something in common, that both of them were sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal, but there is nothing preventing that one of them would be sent down in a manner different from that of the other one, which means they were not necessarily sent in the same way, in the same manner, with the same means, but they were sent down differently. حيث نزل كتاب من الله كما قال تعالى. The book was sent directly from Allah, as he says, تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. The revelation or sending down of the book from Allah, the Aziz, which means the glorious or the mighty, and Hakim, the all wise. وقال تعالى ألف لام راء كتاب الأحكام الآيات المفصلة بدلنا حكيم خبير. A book whose ayat were well knit and well composed, and then they were sent down in pieces from an all wise, the one who is all wise, all knowing, or well aware of what he is saying or what he is sending. وقال تعالى وإنك لتلقى القرآن من لدن حكيم عليم. You are given the Quran, you are indeed to Muhammad. This is an address to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You are indeed offered or given Quran from the one who is all wise and all knowing. والحديد أنزل من الجبال التي خلق فيها. Whereas iron, he says, now he told us about Quran, it was directly sent from Allah. As for iron, it was sent down from the mountains in which it was created, which means Allah created it in the mountains, on earth, underground, etc. And then that is how it was sent down, and from that it is extracted and used by people. So now he goes back to his discussion about truthfulness. So he says, وَكَذَلِكَ وَصْفُ الصَّادِقِينَ فِي دَعْوَى الْبِرِّ الَّذِي هُوَ جِمَاعُ الدِّينِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَنْ تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This very important ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions all qualities of righteousness and all qualities of piety or taqwa. And he also says that those who fulfill these qualities are the truthful ones. So he says, similarly, is the description of the truthful ones, the truthful people, and the description of righteousness, which is the thing that engulfs or encompasses all of the deen, in the following ayah. So he's saying that sadaq or truthfulness is like a synonym to bir or righteousness. He says, they said,